All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to read the whole chapter this morning. First Corinthians 12 says this, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Would you pray with me this morning? Our Lord, as we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, you have bidden us to come. Father, you have told us, your Son told us to go to the Father in his name to pray, and that you would hear because you love us. And Lord, we pray that, and we ask that you would bless our time in your word here this morning. Lord, you know what needs are. You know the message upon my heart. I pray that you would enable me, Lord, to speak it in a way that you would be pleased with the right spirit. And I pray that you'd help your people to receive it as it is in truth the word of God. And Lord, as we look in the scripture, Lord, let our eyes be open. Help us to respond to these truths. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father. Even as we read this chapter, we see how you are working, how you are doing this work. It's not our work, but it's your work. It is your body. So, Lord, bless our time together, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 deals, obviously, from the first verse with spiritual gifts. And there are a number of spiritual gifts in the Bible. Just as an example, just kind of perusing all the different passages here, then in Ephesians chapter 4, Romans chapter 12, 1 Peter chapter 4, and you could probably pick out a few other passages of Scripture that deals with spiritual gifts, but you have these various gifts mentioned, such as we see here, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, discerning of spirits, prophecies, apostleship, ministry is a spiritual gift, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, showing mercy, evangelism, government, pastoring, speaking the word of God, and it goes on and on and on. And I think the Lord gave us these various lists of spiritual gifts not to define what is a spiritual gift, as in put limits on it, but to give examples of what kinds of things that he has gifted to the church for his purposes, for his work, and for his glory. So I don't view those. I know sometimes there's debates about whether something is a spiritual gift, and so we kind of use these as limits. I don't think we should look at it like that. No more than we should look at the example given here is with a body. How many body parts do you have? I mean, just dozens and dozens and dozens. We think of our fingers, our hands, eyes, and ears, and, you know, the obvious ones. But then you go inwardly. There's all kinds of parts and members of our body that do different functions. And the point is, there is a part for our body. There is a part. Every part of our body has a function, right? And whatever we need, the body has that part that supplies the need of that function. And so that's what I think the Lord does in the spiritual way, in the body of Christ, in the church. The church is called a body because I know we think of members in terms of like you join a church, you're a member of a club, but when we read the word member in chapter 12, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a body part. That's where the word comes from. And that's kind of the illustration being used here for the church. So this church, even though this church is one of many, it's a visible manifestation, a local manifestation of the body of Christ on earth, right? Because there's part of the body of Christ has already passed on and gone to heaven. You think of Paul and Peter and all those, and those, you know, loved ones of yours who knew Christ, and they've gone to heaven. And then you have the body of Christ here, and then this, you know, and then we have our particular church, and ours is one representation of the whole. And so the things we read in chapter 12 apply to us. We are the body of Christ. And each one of us, following that illustration, is a member of that body. And as a result of that, we have a function. We have a function, just as the parts of a body have a function. The idea that I want you to kind of take away from chapter 12 regarding spiritual gifts, what are spiritual gifts, what are not spiritual gifts, the thing I want you to take away is not that we limit what the spiritual gifts are, but that spiritual gifts in general are the gifts of the Spirit that he has given to his people that are needed, that rather serve a needed function in the work of God. That's what a spiritual gift is. That's why I say it's beyond just the limits of the ones listed here. What if there was no one that was capable and willing to sing songs of praise to God? There was no one that was willing to learn an instrument. There was no one there's no spiritual gift for counting money, right? That listed in Scripture. And yet there's a necessity for people to do that. You know, in other words, there's wherever there is a function that needs to be performed, God has provided in the body of Christ someone who can fill that function. That's the takeaway. Now, these spiritual gifts are not to be misunderstood as normal kind of trades and things that anybody might perform. That's not what we're talking about here. For instance, John Paul, he's in the construction industry and he knows people, and I'm thankful for that because I've been really trying to coordinate with him and make connections with people that can do things around the building that I don't know how to do and nobody else I know of here knows how to do. But that's not what we're talking about, spiritual gifts. That's just a result of natural life. A spiritual gift specifically is actually, if you'll look with me, and it's outlined in Ephesians chapter 4. So hold your place here and go to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to show you the purpose of the spiritual gifts. What I'm trying to say is, spiritual gifts are not natural. They don't exist naturally. Spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit of God, and therefore, being the people of God who have believed in Christ are the people who have received the Spirit of God. So with the Spirit of God comes these gifts. These are not natural things that anybody can fulfill. Although, of course, we know and appreciate people who, you know, have trades and skills and all that, but that's not really what we're talking about with spiritual gifts. You'll see what I mean in just a minute. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 11. Says this, and he gave some, this is speaking of gifts now, apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Notice verse 12. Why did God give spiritual gifts to his people, to the church? Here's why. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Perfecting of the saints, work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see that? So the spiritual gifts are those gifts, talents, abilities, desires, skills, however you want to put it, because these things, it's quite broad, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a mention of government, which is the ability to govern affairs, the ability to regulate and to set guidelines and to set order. That's a spiritual gift to be, and that's not natural. That's something God gives to a believer to serve the body of Christ. Now, notice what it says in verse 12, perfecting of the saints, work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So knowing those things, the purpose of spiritual gifts, the core value, the core truth that we take away from this is that no matter what the spiritual gift is, no matter what the individual part or member, no matter what function they provide, the purpose of that gift is to strengthen and to help the body of Christ and to further the work of God in the world. So there's an element of it that is kind of inward, where it's something that some gifts and spiritual gifts that we see here, and I listed a minute ago, some of them are kind of pointed inward and some of them are pointed outward, because both we're edifying the body of Christ inwardly, but we're doing, as it says in verse 12, the work of the ministry outward. Both are needed. Those are both functions, right? You know, for instance, I'm going to keep referring back to the body. You know, you use your hands to feed yourself, right? But you also use your hands to drive nails or to, in the case of those in the medical field, put in, you know, IVs and whatever. In other words, use your hands for things outward, and you use your hands for things that help your own body. And that's the way the body of Christ is. So anything, any ability, function that God gives to his people to strengthen the body of Christ inwardly and to do the work of the Lord outwardly, whatever that might be. And there's so many different ways that can be done. Let me show you. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 4. I know sometimes there's a mentality that everyone must be and do and think and act and exactly without any variation as I, right? That is a thing, right? And of course, there are, without question, I mean, do I even have to say this? There are obviously scriptural boundaries to what can be done. But what verses 4 through 6 say is doesn't show the boundaries. What's in focus is the diversity. I know that word is charged, but so just bear with me, okay? Bear with me. I mean it in the best way possible, okay? Verse 4. Now there are diversity. See, it's a Bible word, see? Are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So you have this idea of diversities of gifts. We've already talked about gift. A gift being maybe you could loosely define it as an ability, a desire, a role, an act of service, a strength maybe that you have in the work of God. But remember, when we talk about spiritual gifts, we're not talking about your ability to swing a hammer or put in a light. We're talking about in the spiritual realm for the work of God, for the people of God. That's the spiritual gifts we're talking about here. Then it says in verse number 5, there are differences of administrations. Administrations is just, it's like ministry. It's any act of service that you might do for the Lord or for someone else. An act of service, that's all it's talking about. Operations in verse number 6, there are diversities of operations. That word is connected to the word work. Any work that you might do to serve another. Any work for God, passing out gospel tracts and that can include physical things like we see around the building. But the use of that is a spiritual matter, right? Now, I know when we, have to hire somebody to come and fix the air conditioner or, whatever, that's not spiritual at all. But when someone gives themselves to God to work for Him, that is itself a spiritual gift. The very desire to give oneself and one's time and one's energy for the work of God, however that might be, that is a spiritual gift. But the thing I want you to see from verses 4 through 6 is that not everybody in the church is supposed to do the same thing. You know what we've done? In churches, what we've done is we have pigeonholed everybody into the expectation that they're going to do the exact same thing, and if they don't do that, they have no purpose. They don't do the one of these three things, they don't have a purpose. That's not right. Notice that list I gave you at the beginning of the scriptural examples of spiritual gifts, right? There's like over a dozen of them. And that's not even all. I mean, you could go into more and more besides that. Not only that, but the spiritual gifts, there's some gifts that are kind of general, and you could fit a whole lot more things. It's almost like a container. You could fit a lot more things in the container that would also be included in spiritual gifts. Diversity within the body of Christ is how God designed it. We're not all supposed to be the same. We're not all supposed to have the same desires in spiritual things. We're not all supposed to have the same abilities, strengths, and weaknesses. That's not the way the Lord designed it. He designed it so we would all be different. Just like every part of your body is different. They don't all look the same and they do not all do the same thing. Now, there are some parts of the body that function better at some things than others, right? I guess if you were extremely limber, you could take a toe and scratch your face with it. But I think your finger probably does a little bit better at that than your toe would, right? It's a little better suited at that. Some of you are like, I don't know what he's talking about. Others of you are like, I know exactly what he's talking about. Look at chapter 12, verse number 7. So we see there is diversity. I just want to say something. Listen. In our church, there should be a place for everybody to serve and to exercise their gift. And I want to tell you something. That's one thing that I've really put thought into, and I've really tried and prayed that the Lord would direct me to start ministries and to provide opportunity of various kinds so that everybody can find a place to serve. Instead of it just being like one thing that everybody has to kind of flow into, even if that's not something that they are able to do or feel comfortable or skill or whatever. It's not their strength. And that, you know, it's hard to do because I'll be honest with you, I'm not the most creative person in the world. My family knows this. They're all grinning over there like peacocks. Except my wife, she's not grinning. I'm not creative. So that's why I'm always open to ideas if you have ideas for other ministries and things. Look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Notice, I want you to see the words, every man. Manifestation of the Spirit. These are the gifts, abilities, talents, strengths, however you want to, desire, whatever you want to put there, right? Manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Look at verse 11, really quick. But these all work, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally, that's multiple, as he will. In other words, it's not just one gift. You can do more than one. Every person has a gift. Listen, if you are, this is why it's so important for every Christian to be plugged in to a local, biblical, New Testament church. Because it is there that the spiritual gift that you have been given, be it one or be it many, are to be exercised. That's the context. Edifying the body of Christ, work of the ministry. You see that? It's in the context of the church. Every person has a gift. And so every person I'm speaking to in this room that is a believer in Christ and has the Spirit of God in you, who is the giver of the gift, possesses something, hear me now, that is profitable to the work of God. Every one of you. Without exception, every one of you. And what's more is every person, by virtue of them having received this gift, has been given that gift to be exercised in the work of God, not to be idle. So no one should say, well, I don't have any gifts, or I'm not really good at anything, or I can't do any, there's nothing really I can. That is not scripturally accurate. Every person has a gift. You know, I think one of the problems when we think about this subject is that people have not been willing to stretch themselves and attempt things that they might not be good at, to see where their gifts and talents and their desires from the Lord are. In other words, we shrink from things that are awkward or difficult. You know, I'll give you a personal example. Prior to us starting the ministry at Tarabella with Brother Burgess, he's just a firecracker and he knows no strangers, and that is the exact opposite as I am. And then you're dealing with people there, some of whom are of sound mind and are precious people and can express themselves, and some of all various degrees can't, right? And you know what? I had never really been around that until we started that ministry. I'd never really had to be kind of thrown in the deep end and not really know how to interact with people that are in that stage of life. I could say, well, you know, it's kind of uncomfortable, so yeah, I'm not gonna go. Well, no, actually, what we should say is, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm willing to do anything, and maybe you'll show me what I need to do, how I can help. And you might find, I believe, you will find that when you stick your neck out and you're willing to go out on a limb and find out, all right, I'm gonna serve, even if it's not my thing. I don't know until I do it. I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna see how the Lord helps me and how He directs me and what He gives me a desire toward and what I have abilities and skills in. But as long as we kind of shrink from that in timidity, we'll never discover our place of service, our function in the body of Christ. And the worst thing is we'll be idle. Not fulfilling. Not exercising the gifts that God has given us. So no one should ever say, I don't have any gifts. Notice verse number 7 again. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. Notice that last word, with all. The gifts are given to profit. That means, and that word with all, it means that they're not only given to profit, but the idea is that they're to profit the whole of the work of God. Right? It's not just about you. It's not just about me. It's about everybody. And it's about, beyond that even, it's about the work of the Lord. No gifts that God gives us as spiritual gifts are to simply remain idle and unused. Do you have any body parts that are like that? Those of you that are nurses, and are, do we have a bunch of body parts that aren't ever used? Well, no. They used to think there were such things as that, but that's kind of gone by the wayside as we've learned more. No, every part of your body has a function, and so it is with the church. If you are saved, you have been given gifts by the Spirit of God, and it provides a function that should be exercised. And that profit from those spiritual gifts profits the whole, not just me, not just you. Now, the sad thing is when we do have spiritual gifts, and God's already said it, so we can't say, well, I don't have gifts. We do. We might not have discovered them, but we have them. But here's the thing. If we are not exercising those gifts, the Lord is not being glorified in our life. That's why He gave them. To serve the people of God, to do the work of God, to the ultimate end that the name of Christ will be glorified. That's the purpose. But if we're not exercising them, none of that is happening. Look at verse number 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now these are just a subset. There are many others. In fact, even at the end of this chapter, there are more that are mentioned than that. Let me ask you a question. What would be the effect upon the body, the work of God, the church, if these gifts we read in verses 8 through 10 were not used? Think of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. You know what that means? That simply means that you're able to not only have knowledge or wisdom, but you're able to convey it profitably to another person. You're able to give them wisdom, guidance, instruction, and you're able to give them knowledge. That's all that means. Now, let me ask you, what happens if you don't do that? If you have that gift and you don't do it, God has given it to you to do, and yet the gift sits idle. What happens? You know what happens? The rest of the body lacks something that you were intended to provide. They needed wisdom. They needed knowledge. You know, think of at this period especially, the gifts of healing, prophecy, the message of God. You know, there's people that are sick that need healing, and you don't exercise that gift. There's a message from God in the case of prophecy, and you don't give it. You know what happens? That person goes without the message God intended for them. And we can go on and on and on. What would happen? Look at verse number 28. Gifts of healings, helps, governments. What happens if God gave someone in our church a gift of to be able to administrate and organize and those kinds of things? And you didn't exercise that. You just kind of, you know, you just weren't comfortable, whatever. And you never exercised it. You know what happened? The church would be in disarray. Because that was your job. That was your function. You see, the gifts that God has given you are not for you. The gifts that God has given me are not for me. The gifts that God has given us are for the body of Christ and for the work of God. If therefore we do not exercise those gifts, the body will lack something that God has given to the body for its use. That's what I want you to see. Why do some people feel neglected? Why are some ministries never done? Why are there gaps in the work of God? Is it because there's not enough time in the day? Not enough days on the calendar? Is it because we don't have enough facilities or we don't have enough money, maybe? No. The reason why there's gaps in the work of God, the reason why people are kind of fall through the cracks, is because people that God has intended to fulfill those functions don't. And every one of us has a function. There's no such thing as a child of God that the Lord intends to sit by and just be a spectator. It doesn't exist. He has given every man spiritual gifts so that every man would exercise for the work of God and for the body of Christ. You see? And there's a real effect and a lack when that doesn't happen. When we do not step out and exercise those gifts. Let's keep reading verse number 11. But all these worketh that one in the self same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, remember, we're not talking about members of the church, we're talking about members of a body, body parts, right? That's the illustration. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now look at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. I think as I read this, this is a striking statement. Again, the body is not one member, but many. There is this little nefarious idea that floats around churches, not just churches of our kind, but many, many kinds, that the pastor or the deacons are the only people in the body that are to exercise their gifts. And sometimes we don't come out and say it, but it's something we, as a kind of a baseline belief. They're the ones that are supposed to serve God. We're supposed to come listen. But the pastor and the deacons are not the body, because the body is not one member. It is made up of all of us. So it is impossible for one member to serve as the body. That's the point here. How can the eye do the work of the hands and of the feet or of the knees? Right? How can the nose do the work of another body? It can't, because the body is not one but many. Right? As a single member, God has not equipped the deacons. God has not equipped me. And God has not equipped any single one of you to do what other members of the body are equipped to do. You know that? So for me, in the role that I have, I can't do everything. I can't. There's some things I don't have the ability to do. God has not gifted me to do those. But you know what? He has gifted you. That the body might have someone in every function that's necessary. You see, there's no single person in the church that is the body. No matter how visible that role might be, That's what this verse is saying. Look at verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? It is a wrong thought that says, well, if I'm not able, if I'm not doing X, if I'm not doing this thing, well, then I have no way to serve. Well, that's not true. Or another person might think, well, this job or this ministry is the only one that really matters. That is false. That is wholly false. What these verses say, verses 15 and verse 16 say, they seem to say, well, they address the thought. They address the idea that if I'm not the pastor, if I'm not a deacon, if I'm not a Sunday school teacher, then I don't have any real need to exercise my gifts. I can therefore just be inactive. And the problem is, listen, ultimately, of course, that brings harm upon the body because the body needs you. It needs your gifts, even if you don't know what they are yet. It needs your gifts, but it's harmful to you also because you have no way to exercise your spiritual life. And many times what happens is when people don't know what to do, here's what they do. They do nothing. But the Lord has not given you and me spiritual gifts to be idle. He's given them to use. And you will find, I promise, you will find the greatest fulfillment in your life at finding those things and doing them. That's why he's put you here. That's why. That's where you'll be fulfilled as a believer. Listen, no church spectator is going to have full fulfillment. Just not going to happen. Look at verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Notice that. This verse kind of reiterates what we saw in verse 14, that no one member is the whole. The other parts are needed, and they must be in use. In other words, every member must be, and the function that that member provides should be in use, not just present, but functioning with the purpose that God has given them. You know, I think of Brother Sonny when I was at their house before he went into surgery. Sister Pam was helping Brother Sonny put on his jacket, and she put his left arm in the armhole first. And Brother Sonny reminded her of Fred, and she's like, "Oh yeah," and so she took it off. And she put the jacket on Sonny's right hand first because he doesn't have use of his right hand because of his stroke. And he's named his arm. He calls it Fred. I'm not making this up. He says Fred is dead. That's what he says. I got permission from Sister Pam before I mentioned this. How many of you have heard of this? Yeah, Miss Amy, a couple of you. So he can't use his right arm, so he says Fred is dead. So Brother Sonny, what an illustration. So Brother Sonny has a member of his body that does not function the way it's supposed to because of a health issue, right? How does that harm him? It's not just that, but also his leg, you know, as a result of the stroke, he has difficulty with his right leg. You know, has that negatively affected his body? You better believe it. You know why? It's not that it's not present. It's present, but it's not working. It's not fulfilling its purpose. You see? This is the illustration the Lord gave us. I'm not making it up. Verse 17 says, again, if the whole were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? This is an important truth. One member is not equipped to do every function of the body. An eye does the seeing. It doesn't do the smelling or the tasting or the touching or anything like that. So that's why I say no one of us, myself included, for I am but a member, right? The deacons, but a member. Now we serve in all different capacities and functions and roles and that kind of thing. We have different gifts and functions. We all understand that. but I can't do what some of you can do, and you can't do what I can do, and that's the way it goes in the body. No one member is equipped to do every function. God has designed the body in His wisdom so that it all does not depend on one person. It must not, cannot depend upon one person. That is not God's will. This idea, again, that in churches, that the pastor is the one who serves God and everybody else is just a spectator, that is not a scriptural idea. That is categorically false. That is wholly against the scripture. Rather, the opposite. You see the whole body working together, right, to glorify God. You see, the gifts that you have from the Spirit of God were given to you by His grace. Romans 12, verse 6, we won't go there for time. 1 Peter 4 tells us that we're given gifts according to the grace given to us, right? So here's what God has done for each one of us. He has said, okay, I'm giving you grace. But grace comes in different forms, you know that? The cross of Christ was given by grace. That was a gift of grace. But you know what? Spiritual gifts, abilities, desires, talents, and those kinds of things that I'm referring to this morning are also a gift of grace. So God gives it to you. It is not so, oh, look at this. This is great. No, He says, now I've given you a gift of grace. Use it. Put it to work. You remember the parable of the talents? Now, I know we get this idea that a talent is an ability, but in that case, a talent was a measure of money, right? In the parable of the talents, what was expected? The master gave them the talents, and the expectation was that they were going to use it. And here's the truth, and this is the truth we got to get our hands on. Every child of God has been given gifts. Every one of you. So none of us can say, well, I don't have anything to do. There's nowhere I can serve. No, that is not true. I think this is an issue. This question has more to do with the will than it does anything else, than ability. Am I willing to serve? Am I willing to exercise the gift? Or do I just want other people to do what God has intended on me doing? Look at verse number 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but one body. We'll finish up with 21 and 22. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are, if you underline, here's the word you need to underline, necessary. You see that? I just want to speak frankly with you, okay, about myself. It is true that the work that God has given me to do is one of the more visible and obvious roles within the church. That's plain to see, right? But I, verse 21 and 2, I cannot say to any other person that I am more needed in the work of God or in the ministry to the saints, the edifying of the body of Christ. I cannot say I'm more needed than you, Miss McLean. Or Brother Lord. I can't say I'm more needed. Because I'm not. If I were to say that, I would expect you to be looking for a new pastor. Because that's wicked. And so, on the, but we got to remember, on the, so no one can say, well, I am the most important person in the church. That's why it kind of annoys me, to be honest with you, when someone says, I'd like to come to your church. I kind of cringe every time I hear it inwardly. I kind of cringe. It's not my church. I'm just one of you. One of you. On the other hand, there should be no one that says, I'm not needed. We have a pastor, we have deacons. I don't need to actually do anything. Not so. That's what these two verses tell us. Each person is necessary. You see, no person is unnecessary, and no person is by themselves sufficient. All are needed and all are necessary. Excuse me. So I want to tell you this. If you're sitting there wondering, all right, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? The takeaway you need to grab from these verses is this. I have a place to serve God, and I have gifts that are necessary for this church and for the work of God through this church. I have gifts that nobody else can provide. That's what these verses say. You know, we think of church in general as basically what we do on Sunday. But especially, and of course, I'm not saying we don't have people serving. Of course we have people serving. But you know what? Really, in the broad scheme of things, if you know everybody, you know, I don't even know what everybody does. Everybody doesn't tell me everything they do in service to the Lord or service to others. And that's fine. I'm totally okay with that. But I can tell you one thing. There's a lot more that goes on in this church than what happens on Sunday and Wednesday evenings. There's a lot more that goes on. People are here, people are there, people serving, helping one another, and they don't say anything to me, and I'm perfectly okay with that. But the work of God is not just the services where we meet, and that's people have gotten this in their mind, that this is the kind of spectator Christianity. We just come, we sit, we put our offering in, and nothing else is required of us, and we're not needed in any other capacity. And I want to tell you, that is not scriptural. That is not right. There's no such thing as spectator Christianity. So knowing all these things, as I close, I just want to ask you, what place do you have? What gifts has God given you that He wants you to utilize? And are you using those? Have you given yourself to Him for that? Every child of God in this church is necessary for this work. And it will be deficient without you. It will be. Let's pray.